You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, join the 100,000-plus fans in the official Cleveland Browns fan club, the Browns Backers Worldwide. It's free to join the biggest organized fan club in all of sports and includes team shop discounts, special event invitations, and, of course, exclusive VIP experiences. To join, visit brownsbackers.org. That's brownsbackers.org. Joining us now, the voice of the Cleveland Browns for the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan. Jim, it's Franchise Tag Monday. Thus far, no news coming out of Berea. What are your thoughts on the Alex Mack, TJ Ward situations?
Well, it's good to be with you guys.
Great to have you.
Thank you. On Alex Mack, I would think that if the Browns tagged him today, I think in a lot of ways he would become a very, very happy young man because he would be making over $11 million next season. And he plays the year here, and then he takes a look at the situation and the landscape once again next year in the same position that he would be in, that he sits in right now. T.J. Ward is an interesting guy. I have always felt, and I know I mentioned this to Vic a couple of weeks ago when I was on the show with him, is that I always feel that from that position now where T.J. Ward plays, you really have to be a game-deciding player. You have to control the game from that position because you're doing so much with a safety now. You're bringing them up. You're playing as a hybrid linebacker, which TJ did a lot last year. And sometimes I wonder if he, at his size and his durability, although he played this year the entire season, but in his first couple of years, he missed significant amounts of time, if he can play that way. So I would love to keep them both. But, I just wonder about, the amount of money that it takes to get him to stay here.
Yeah, that and there it is, Jim. I mean, as far as trying to weigh this, because the simple perspective that a lot of people have, any of us could have, is you see all this cap room, and it means, well, they could do everything. They can keep guys, and they can sign new guys, so just do it all. I mean, the common response to the whole TJ Ward thing is, why do you have to pick Ward or Bird? Have them both, plus Alex Mack. It's not that simple.
Doesn't work.
And you've got other – I brought up Joe Hayden's name as one on the defensive side of the ball. Whatever you do relative to either of those players or both of those players is going to have implications beyond just them.
Yeah, and I mean, Hayden becomes a huge priority to get a long-term deal done with him. And I would think that they, will get I would hope that they would get that done and get on the road to that. These two players are very, very interesting. I mean, they really are. I mean, suddenly, Mack can become, a very big stabilizing factor in the middle of the Browns offensive line and how they're going to change schemes and what they're going to do and conduct themselves along the offensive line. He becomes important to that thing. The thing I've always loved about him is he always plays and he always does play very hard. And I mean, so, and I know T.J. Ward wants to play very, very hard, but at times he just gets knocked out because he has just had a durability problem. He's had a little bit of an injury bug. He had it in high school, he had it in college, and he had it in his first couple of years with the Cleveland Browns. So I worry sometimes if he can be that crunching safety, because I know he's got the heart to do it, but I worry sometimes that you pour a ton of money into him and suddenly, he goes down again. And not just for a week, but for a number of weeks. And now where are you at that point? Now, I know the other guy that they're talking about, Bird, has had his problems, with injury and certainly missed, about five games last year. He, to me, seems to be a little bit more of a game-deciding kind of player. I mean, they all do it now from that position.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you're talking about more of a coverage safety in the passing NFL, a ball hawker, a playmaker, versus T.J. Ward, who I would say is one of the best in-the-box safeties, and that is a defense-specific role. I think he really took to what Ray Horton asked him to do last year, clearly turned in his best season. And, yes, it'll be interesting. And, yes, the Browns do have a lot of money, but I think you brought up a very good point, Jim. Some of that money is going to go to the re-signing of Joe Hayden, Jordan Cameron, Jabal Sheard, Josh Gordon, all those guys coming up over the next couple of years that you want to have the money to keep that homegrown talent. So you can't go completely crazy and just say we're going to put more money into the safety position than any team in the NFL by $8 million. You're just not going to see that happen.
Yeah, right. And I think that there's a little bit around town of a buyer's remorse concerning what Kruger did last year.
No doubt.
And how much money that they paid for that. And, you know, we hope that Paul has a better year. And you know, you can say, well, statistics sometimes. No, not in his case. Statistics should tell the story in his case. It should tell us whether the price tag was worth it or not. And Desmond Bryant, for a completely different reason, you know, he missed a great deal of time due to a sore back at first and then this irregular heartbeat condition. So, I mean, you know, I think Nathan, you and I are on the same page on this one. And I think big, too, is that, you know, you can, when you spend a ton of money like this, you put immediate pressure on that player to perform because you're spending a ton of money on him. If they don't measure up to that, you have the worst case of buyer's remorse that you can ever have. And in the NFL, there are a lot of teams that have that.
And no team has ever gotten good by overspending in free agency repeatedly. To become a good team, you must get it done through the draft.
Yeah, you do. You have to. I'm sorry about the dog here. I'm actually in the dog pound, I believe, here.
It's been a theme today. Ian Rappaport's dog was barking up a storm. I like it.
You're right. I mean, that's the way you got to do it. And I think that's the way Ray Farmer has certainly set it out that he wants to do it that way, is that, that's not foolproof, but that's the most, you know, efficient way to do it. And the players are yours, and you're getting them, and you're cultivating them the way you want to do it. And certainly we hope now that Bartivius Mingo is going to have a bigger year in his second year than he did in the first year, because he represents really an entire draft from last season. So,
yeah.
You know, this sets up as a huge draft, and I think that's the way you're going to fill this roster. You're certainly going to be able to do it this year with the amount of picks that you have, but I think moving on, that's the way you're going to do it, that you'll just kind of put a Band-Aid over something with free agency, but you'll fill the roster with your own talent through the draft.
Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns for the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, joins us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And, Jim, when we spoke with Ian, one of the things he mentioned, he'd reported this, that the Browns were having a sit-down with Alex Mack, that he had a chance to meet with, or was having a chance to meet with Coach Patton, obviously Ray Farmer, maybe Jimmy Haslam, just to get a feel from the organization of where things stand post Joe Banner and Michael Lombardi, and to give him maybe a better feel than he had. It was Ian's contention that, you know, the guy probably felt less about his chances of sticking around had there not been those changes at the top of the organization. Can you see a good sell to Mac now? Can you see him, knowing what you do of him, and none of us really have a complete handle on the football terrain because of new coach, new GM, but we're trying to get our hands around it. But do you feel that he's going to feel either, I don't know if the word is the love, but certainly the sense that it's something he needs to be a part of?
Well, he's a very smart guy, Vic. So I'm sure, you know, always I've found out when I interview Alex Mack, he interviews me. And I'm sure if you sat down with him, a lot of times he turns the question on you when you say, well, how do you feel? Well, how do you feel? I mean, you know, he's a very, very intelligent guy. I mean, he's a real thinker. There's no question about it. So I think that's a really smart move in his camp, made that decision by him that he would interview them and try and find out things. I mean, that says a lot about the player, that he really wants to be in the right situation, that he's not, that they're not just going to throw a figure at him and he's going to jump at it. He wants to know what's behind the figure. Where are we really going here? I've been through a bunch of coaches now, and I've been through a turbulent 11-month time period from the Shermer days into the Chudzinski days and now to Mike Patton. And I think he probably is saying, if this is where I'm going to spend the bulk of my time and a big chunk of my career, then I want it to be right. You know, he need only look two spots to his left to Joe Thomas, and he can say, listen, you know, I'm sure he admires Joe a great deal, and we all do, but Joe now is going into, like, year eight, and he's been through a lot of losing, and when you get to this point in your career, there are a couple of ways you can approach this. Number one, you can hit the bankroll and cash in and make a lot of money, or you can say, hey, listen, I might give up something to get to a winning program. And I'm sure that's what he wants to see right now. There are a lot of new people, once again, sitting in offices in Marietta, and he wants to know who they are, what they're all about, and if he fits into that equation. So I thought that was a brilliant move by him, and I think the Browns have a good sell to make towards him.
I certainly hope you're right and hope that they can get a deal done with him, as I'm sure many do, before the March 11th period where free agency officially opens here with the Cleveland Browns. Jim, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll be talking with you soon.
All right, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, Pete Prisco from CBS is a loaded franchise tag. Monday show rolls on here. He comes up next on Cleveland Browns Daily right here on WKNR.
Aren't you something to admire? 'Cause you shine at something like a mirror, and I can't help but know.